educated adults, we use these language systems every day. But teaching these to children just beginning to read is vital. And we need that deeper knowledge of understanding of these different language systems.
Aloha, and welcome to Imua Literacy, a podcast dedicated to moving Hawaii forward with local literacy solutions. I'm Erin D'Amelio.
And I'm Dr. Esmeralda Carini. And in each episode, we will be addressing perceived obstacles in literacy by thinking through solutions together with our colleagues and friends from all walks of literacy life that are based right here in Hawaii.
So today we're chatting with an esteemed colleague, literacy peep and friend, David Yoon from Manawili Elementary. David has worked as a teacher, an interventionist, and a staff developer for over a decade.
I would say it's starting with just something small. So I think it's just a matter of building that teacher knowledge.
He's passionate about literacy and supporting his teachers in using evidence-based practices to maximize their impact on student learning. I'm so excited. Hi, David. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So, David, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Let's start at the very kind of basic level here. There are some terms that might be floated around, like phonological awareness, phonemic awareness, even, you know, onset, deletion, and things like that. Can you talk us through kind of like some of the basic vocabulary when it comes to early literacy?
The term to start with is phonological awareness, right? And so phonological awareness is basically the ability to identify and manipulate units or chunks of oral language. So at the word level, the syllable level, onset and rhyme level, or the individual sound level. You know, some examples of that might be, you know, you tell a child, okay, listen to this sentence and tell me how many words are in this sentence, okay? I like ice cream. And then the student might clap with you.
I like ice cream.
Right. And there's four words there. So, you know, being able to identify at the word level and then going down to the syllable level. So you could ask students the word caterpillar. How many syllables? Caterpillar. Oh, there's four. Or dolphin, you know, two. And, you know, so there's just different ways to kind of play around with units of sound, but notice we went from the word level and then we went to smaller chunks, the syllable level, and then you really get into smaller chunks when you go to what we call the onset and rhyme level. So for example, if I say the word cat, the onset is k and the rhyme is at. And so, you know, that's a segmentation task, right? Taking the onset and the rhyme apart. But you could start by asking the students to blend or put the onset and rhyme together. So if I say at, and the word is cat. So, you know,
I feel like we're your student. you know, and David, you've often said to our teachers, you know, you can teach phonological awareness with your eyes closed.
Sure, right. So that's what they say, right? This is all about just listening to the sounds, manipulating the sounds. So you really could do it with your eyes closed, although, you know, they they recommend that you don't. But you really could, because, right, it's about the sound system. And again, phonological awareness is that umbrella term that includes the syllable level, the onset and rhyme level, and then what we call phoneme level or the individual speech sounds.
How does developing a child's phonological and phonemic awareness support their future literacy and language learning? How does it play a role in their ability then in the future to spell or decode?
You know, you think about blending, you think about what it takes to read a word. We're not wired to read, right? Our brains are not wired to read. We have to start with what we, you know, are programmed with, right? That's speech. We pick up speech really quickly. And so
that oral language development.
So for example, the word black, right? And you see the graphemes, right? So you see the B and you go B, and you see the L, you see the A, A, and you see the CK, which is a grapheme, and you go K. And so if you've had those opportunities to blend, then you're able to have a better chance at decoding words. And so when I'm, yeah.
And spelling.
Right, exactly. Another thing that is lifted up when we think about phonemic awareness is the idea of segmenting. Mm-hmm. The 2000 National Reading Panel said, you know, blending is super important, you know, for that reason of decoding words, but the segmenting is important as well because it helps kids to be able to remember how to read and spell words. So it's more than just being able to go ack, black. It's that segmenting is important because the role of that, or one of the roles that that plays, is to be able to help children to remember how to read and spell words. And that's what we want, right? We want the words to become sight words. We want them to be able to be stored in memory so that as soon as you see the word, you're able to see it, say it. So we have to start with where we're at, or with, you know, the foundation, which is the speech. And we go from speech to print. And so I think it's important for teachers to understand that we can't just move straight to the print.
Exactly. That's what I think a lot of people do, because I think that is, people tend to skip over phonological awareness.
Right, right.
You, like when you first started working...
Right. When the light bulb turned on, I guess, right?
Where did the light bulb turn on?
It was actually with reading this book, the Equipped for Reading Success book. And, you know, we work with a range of students that have different needs. And it was reading this book helped me to realize that, yeah, this phonological awareness, phonemic awareness, the skill of blending is absolutely necessary to decode unfamiliar words, but there's got to be more to it than that. You know, we're doing the letters or language essentials for teachers of reading and spelling trainings, right? And it presented in one of the modules, Dr. Carol Tolman, she's one of the co-authors and national trainers of this letters, right? She actually created this hourglass, right? And if you picture an hourglass, right, you've got the top part and then it meets here in the middle and then it kind of goes out and rounds out. That top section is that phonological awareness. And then, you know, the bottom section is that orthography. And so you've got to start with that phonological awareness at the larger unit level. So what we were talking about, right, the syllables, the onset and rhyme, we didn't mention, but alliteration. That's what they term early phonological awareness.
Yeah.
And then you start getting into smaller units of sound or smaller chunks of sound, that basic phonological awareness, phoneme blending and segmenting. And then
you can move into the print.
Right. And there's actually a space in between that, the advanced phonological awareness level. So there's not a whole lot of talk about the phoneme deletion tasks and phoneme substitution tasks. But we know that from the research, we know that those advanced phonological awareness tasks, that is actually necessary for that automatic recall of words. So that building of that sight vocabulary. Hmm. But there's also the reading rope. Scarborough's reading rope. Right? And if you think about Scarborough's reading rope, there are many strands, right? We've got the strands that involve language comprehension and the strands that involve word recognition. And so within word recognition, we've got phonological awareness, decoding, and sight recognition. They intertwine together. So yeah, maybe we might have a student that could decode unfamiliar words, right? And then we realize and we go back and we do those assessments, and maybe I'm just kind of guessing, like, it was really taxing on them to be able to read those words.
Right.
Right. So they know, it's not becoming automatic. And so one of the things that I'm thinking about is that phonological awareness, that role in, and David Kilpatrick shared this, the idea of needing to be able to build that orthographic lexicon. So that ability to be able to just see a word and to be able to say it, that automaticity. And so I feel like without that phonological awareness to the advanced phoneme level,
yes,
you know, not just the early and basic, Mm-hmm. They've got to be able to, like we said, do those substitution and deletion tasks. It's more about getting it within their sight vocabulary so that it's automatic.
So I'm curious, David, what might be some of the obstacles that teachers face in teaching these phonological awareness skills?
Many teachers will say, well, we don't have the time, or, you know, there's just too many of them to work with. I think as educators, we're professionals, right? And I think about how professionals in healthcare and these different fields, like, they need to be involved in whatever science is.
Evidence-based,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and I was thinking, my doctors, right? They need to be on their game. And they need to know.
You want them to be at the top of their game with the latest and the greatest knowledge.
Exactly. Right. They've got to be on their game. They've got to be using the latest of what they know, because if they were using kind of what they were using 20 years ago and not really keeping up with, you know, the research in their field,
there could be some serious health consequences for all of their patients.
Right. Exactly.
I like that analogy because it really does bring it back to the importance of, even in education, we want our teachers as professionals working with the latest and greatest knowledge that's out there.
You know, one narrative that I've heard quite frequently is that schools and teachers may not actually be using the latest and greatest research out there. In other words, those practices may not be implemented consistently for whatever reason, you know? So what do you think might be some ways that we can overcome some of these barriers?
I think schools needing to really say, this is important.
Yes.
And if this is important, we're going to prioritize this, mm-hmm. and we're going to look at it from a systems lens, and we're going to look at it from, you know, the lens of assessment, instruction, curriculum, multi-tiered systems of support, intervention. All of these things are combined. But I think it's a matter of just slowly building that teacher knowledge, right? There's that saying, right? When you know better, you do better.
Mm.
You know, having those cycles of professional learning where you're just going to try something out, right? You're going to learn about something together, whether it be in learning teams or grade level clusters or just as a school, and building that teacher knowledge, right? And closing what they call that knowledge to practice gap.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need to look at our core practices. Are we, you know, taking a look at our curriculum? Does it include enough phonological, phonemic awareness? Does it include phonics? Is it explicit? Is it systematic? And if it's not, as they say in our letters, right, being smarter than our program, right?
Mm,
so
I like that.
Being able to supplement or being able to change things around so that our teaching does match best, not just best practice, but research-based and evidence-based practice.
Mm-hmm.
What ideas would you give for our teachers who are listening on some ways to teach that?
Use manipulatives, use different things to kind of get the kids engaged, but doing it at a quick pace, right? You don't want to spend too much time on doing this. It's just, you know, real quick, just a little bit. So I think it's important to keep it fun. I think that was one of the things that I learned, you know, early on when we were doing this. Like, it can be game-like, and I would just call it a game. I said, oh, guys, we're going to play a game, and you know, say it's a word game.
Kids love
games. Word game, you know.
Everybody loves games.
Yeah. We like to do robot, so refrigerator. You know,
I love that.
You're so much fun. Aaron, can you see David as your teacher?
Oh, I would love to have David as my teacher. I'd be like doing the robot. Yeah. Could you give some examples of the deletion?
Sure. So this comes straight from the past, right? So David Kilpatrick, again, he wrote the book Equipped for Reading Success. And so the past starts kind of at that syllable level, right? So An example might be to say bookcase, and the child says bookcase, and then, you know, now say bookcase, but don't say book. The answer is case.
Right.
Right. So you're deleting that syllable from the word. Then you get to more challenging levels. Say umbrella. Now say umbrella, but don't say umbrella. Mm. You know, so at that mm-hmm. syllable level, and then you mm-hmm. go down more toward that onset and rhyme level, right? So say feet. Now say feet, but don't say f. The answer is eat, mm-hmm. right? So it gets progressively more challenging. And it was interesting because through our professional learning at our school, we were kind of doing this with each other. You know? And so we can confirm that it got progressively more challenging as we went, because if you think about it, that was a deletion task. But think about this substitution task. Say guide. Now say guide, but change the g to r. Okay, so now it's that substituting of that first sound.
So ride?
Ride, right, right, right.
Okay. I had to think about it for a minute.
I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, say sleep. Now say sleep, but don't say sleep.
Sleep, yeah.
Right? So you're taking that first sound from the first blend. It goes all the way to tasks like this. I mean, try this one. Say scale.
Scale.
And then now say scale, but change the k to n.
Snail.
Nail, right? It took some time. Yeah.
You are just so wise, David. You are such a gem. You really are.
I mean, I'm just grateful, David, that we got a chance to meet today and I could learn from your knowledge and expertise.
I was ready to give you a virtual hug.
Many thanks to David for talking to us about the importance of phonological awareness today. There were so many excellent examples that he gave about how both teachers and families even can practice blending and segmenting different word sounds. I know I definitely want to steal that robot trick. David's interview today really highlights the fact that as humans, we're really skilled at picking up the sounds of a language through listening and speaking. But we need a lot more help when we transition to reading and writing that language, because it's not as natural of a process for us. We got a lot out of today's conversation. We hope that you did too. Once again, mahalo for listening to Imua Literacy.